Fireball.
Nothing beats parking at Melbourne Airport. Book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au.
Tame and King.
Fireball.
There's plenty going on this morning. Looking forward to getting stuck into it with you. What about this for a show? Our McCafe menu is loaded. The review of last night's 22-point win from the Lions. How good were they dismantling Melbourne in every phase of the game? We'll do that after 7 o'clock, but if you want to have your say earlier, you can. 1-300-736-736 if you want to join in. Port Adelaide GM of football, big week at Port Adelaide. There's been some succession plan talk with Josh Carr and Ken Hinckley, and one of their players was suspended for 3 weeks for a homophobic slur. So we'll speak to CD. The Friday agenda is back, and then one of the best in the business to do it from AFL.com.au. Cow Toomey with all the news. The best analyst in football sits alongside of me on a Friday. His name is David King. Kingy, good morning.
Morning, Cornsy. It's has been going on in here. Been going
in
on
a different
behind the
studio.
Scenes. Well, I'll tell you what.
What's going on?
Yeah, well, it had to happen. Ratings haven't been that good. We've been bumped. We've been bumped to the small one upstairs.
No.
I know. It's a bad result.
Hey, let's get to the bottom of this. Who's taking our spot in the main studio?
Well, I don't want to say too much, but Sammy Watson pressed a couple
good
of
morning.
Buttons. He pressed a couple of buttons and blew the whole thing up, I think.
Oh, no.
Don't want to say too much, though.
Get him on.
He's had a bad 24 hours. He's playing twos this week.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
what is going on? Where is he? Get him on.
He's sitting right next to me. He's a bit stressed, the kid.
Sam, hit your microphone. What is going on?
What have you done?
What has happened?
We got a call from Geordie about 2 minutes ago saying we have to come upstairs. There's something wrong with the downstairs studio. And
Gary spilled coffee again?
Definitely wasn't me pressing any buttons, but maybe it was Gary spilling coffee. I don't know.
That sounded like bring Geordie in on this one as well. Let's spread the load here.
I can see Geordie out the back there with a smirk on his face.
Yeah.
So we'll try and get to the bottom of this because I'm not sure that explanation is satisfactory.
No, you know what? It never happens during Jordan's show. Have you noticed that? He's our lead into ours. It goes smooth as silk.
Oh. It's unbelievable.
So we're going to have a bit of trouble getting some callers in, so just feel free to keep texting.
Well, we can't take callers.
You're stuck with me, baby.
This is getting better and better. I wanted to do the quiz this morning. Well, hopefully we got it sorted by the time we can get the quiz on. But this
would be a disaster, wouldn't it? That'd really rock my day if that happened. I'd hate that.
There's a lot of people that are hanging for the quiz this morning. If we can't play the quiz and or take calls, can we get interviews on? Well, where are we at? Are we just speaking for 3 hours together?
When the music stopped at 6:01, mate, I was just happy you were on the other end. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves just yet. Let's just relax. Hey, how's the week been?
Mixed. I survived. I survived. How was yours? Get back in one piece.
You moved through that pretty quick. Yeah.
I got a feeling you might want to just delve into it a little bit deeper. I'm sure you're happy just to let it go through the keeper and we can move on and look forward.
You know, it'd have been a rough weekend. It'd have been a long week over in Adelaide because you're catching up with everyone.
You hadn't slept.
Well, last week was a tough one. Last Friday morning was hard yards, I can tell you. I was working on fumes. And you kept getting stuck into me. I knew things were going wrong when that guy knocked on the window and said, "Do you want a coffee?" And I said, "Yes," thinking he worked for us. And he was a random.
And it was your fourth coffee in about 40 minutes.
Well, someone offers, you say yes. You haven't offered, by the way, in 10 years.
No, I got you one last week. You just can't remember because you hadn't been to bed.
No, I had been to bed. Don't say that. What was I saying? So, yeah, so it was a great weekend, but don't get me wrong, I was happy to get out of there.
Yeah,
I got out of there Saturday night, so it wasn't too bad. But it was a great success in the end. Everyone was very happy. Everyone's talking glowingly about it.
Who was best on ground from your dealings? Who made the most of the 3 or 4 days here in Adelaide from those that you dealt with?
Well, I embrace humour. Anyone that can make you laugh constantly. And there's about, we got three rippers. Ben Dixon was all time last week.
Was he?
Yeah. I thought things were going south quickly when he was driving us to Mount Barkham. For some reason, we were driving up a dirt road into a farmhouse. And I said, at what stage do you expect an oval to jump out of the out of the hills here and just present itself? So he was good fun. Alistair Lynch, you know, Lynchy's one of the world's great humans.
Yeah,
he's always entertaining. So good to see him, and it is just good to catch up with footy people, like catching up with Matty Nix. I know you I think you take it for granted when you're in Adelaide that you catch up with these guys so easily. We really don't see too many of the interstaters, so you've got to grab them when you can. So it was good experience, good fun for me, but your weekend was a bit different. Your weekend was strange.
It was a bit strange.
I don't know how that – I really enjoyed watching you getting beat up on Wednesday. I didn't think it would happen again on Friday. When I left you Friday morning here in one piece.
I know. And then I got invited to go on the show.
Was your first error. You decided to start seeing other people and how that treat you.
That is true. But we did that. We had Brownie on, and I was more than happy to go on and take the you-know-what out of myself. So Friday afternoon, 3:30, they actually said, this would have been interesting, they were broadcasting from a pub somewhere here in Adelaide, and Luke Tunnicliffe is the producer, does a great job. He said, can you come to the pub and do it live?
Oh.
So thank goodness I didn't... You'd go there and do it live.
You'd have them up again.
The boxing gloves out again. But so it's 3:30.
Oh, no, don't do that,
Bob. And Lucy and I, we were staying in the city, and I just thought we'll go for a leisurely walk. And as we're doing the walk, I'll just do a quick, you know, four or five minute interview with the Triple M boys and take the you know what out of myself and let Brownie gloat for a little bit. So I'm walking along the banks of the River Torrens, beautiful sunny day, and then about 7 minutes into the interview, things went south.
It took a nasty turn. Could Lucy hear the whole interview?
No, she was like, because I was struggling to get reception for some reason on the Vodafone's hopeless. So I just went up onto the hill.
I love that feedback. I hope they're not a sponsor.
Well, that's true. I just went up into the hill.
Can you not do that? No. Every time you do this, I get in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, get me.
No, they're great. I've been with Vodafone for a long time. Very loyal customer.
Did you notice a little bit of fireball envy? I think that's where it's come from. I think Das wants a piece of Friday Fireball. It feels like he's missing out. He got his opportunity to embrace Fireball.
Das wouldn't last 30 seconds on Fireball. He doesn't want to upset anyone. That was the whole premise of his argument. He wants to play a straight bat and be very positive and not offend anyone or not have a strong opinion. That was sort of what the whole argument was about. Well, and I feel like Fireball Friday, the brand is that. So I reckon he'd last 20 seconds on Fireball.
I don't want to say too much, but I did wake up this morning to a little email that was sent to me from an ldarcy@live.com.
Oh, no. He's far from the All-Australian player that he once was. He was terrible last night. He looks finished to me.
I'm so sick of the Essendon Edge.
So they refuse to defend. It boggles my mind, and they looked lost. Stupid. And now, once again, they're not listening to me. It was a brain fade.
That was just this week. That's since last Friday.
He could have used any one of those examples, yet he couldn't come up with one.
Mate, you know, I was listening to the interview, and I was thinking, if you had the ability to phone a friend, I could have given him 100. I can't believe he fumbled.
He could have gone with Lingy when I had a crack at Lingy.
I've sort of got to know your fight style, right? This is a bit that makes me laugh. As soon as he just panicked for one moment, and went with Cochin. He had about seven things to get through. He didn't get past Cochin. You just nailed him. Is that it? Is that it? Is that all you got? I thought he could go for an hour and a half here. But I'll tell you.
The best bit, was because he had a crack at the gym bit and said that he saw me on Thursday or Friday at the gym and I looked sad and I didn't want to talk to anyone. I had my head down on the exercise bike full of sweat and my headphones in. I wasn't sort of looking for a conversation at the gym. But so on Monday, after all of this has passed and it's blown over, I go to the gym and he's the first person I see.
No way.
Still in Adelaide at the gym.
To race over?
100%. Yeah, 100% I raced over. So I put my things down in the locker at the gym and gathered my thoughts. And he was over by the bench press and I just...
Over by the bench press. There he was, by the bench press.
So I did go straight over and reach the hand out to shake hands, and I said something along the lines of, g'day, Das, I didn't want to be accused of being sad, so I came over and said hello. And it was, look, it was fine. There's a difference of opinion there. I don't need to go into exactly what was said, but he was friendly enough, and we had a 10-minute conversation and we move on. There's, as I said, there's differences of opinions all the time in football. He's got one and I've got one, and
yeah, well, we
move on.
No, we don't move on. No.
Come on, whoa. You spent 20 minutes on the fight last week.
I'll tell you when we're ready to move on. I wasn't operating with full function last week. So Dars sent me the email. I'll tell you, during the fight, during the little stoush, the on-air stoush, I thought Damien Barrett was very good sticking up for you.
So do I.
I thought Nathan Brown, very supportive and jumped in early a couple of times.
Yeah, what about the Chief?
The Chief, proud of the Chief.
Yeah.
Our captain. Well, he's not our captain. Sarah's our captain. He's our vice captain, but he's very, very close to captaincy at Fox. He's the best to work with at Fox. He was very good for you. He actually gave you the chocolates. But there's one bloke that I'd like to put on notice.
Right.
And he won't be winning any Victoria Crosses for bravery, acts of valour. Mark Howard. How silent was Mark Howard? He's the host of the thing. Where was he?
I didn't
Did
pick
you know
that
he
up.
Was there?
No. Well, he introduced me and he gave me a lovely introduction.
And that was it.
Yeah, now that you say that,
mate,
he did.
There was no listen. Come on, Dars, that's a bit strong. You know, as host, you know, he's down big file. Let's just sort of been good enough to come on. Let's just sort of mosey through. It reminded me a little bit of this.
Put him up. Yeah,
remember Boomer? Put him up. The old, the cowardly lion on the Wizard of Oz. No courage. Come on, Howie.
Well, it's an awkward position for them to be in. Well, they've got their guy there, and they've got someone who doesn't work for them on the other end of the phone line. It's a hard way. That's why I couldn't believe all of them sort of jumped in. So thank you, Damo and Chief.
The courage of Mark Howard was a little bit reminiscent of that night. That night things got willing at the Ramsgate, and you were hiding under the table at home. Oh. You were that far from it.
Can we move on now, or you still got more?
No, I've got heaps, but we can always bounce in and out.
I want to bounce in and out because you and I have been doing this show for, is this our third year? I think it's our third year. I
guess who knows. But year 10.
We've argued about run with players a lot.
Yes.
Baggers.
Yes.
You said you can't do them. I say I love them.
Well, some you can't do.
I want more of them. And I love the Fox footy coverage. You just mentioned Sarah and Chief and Joey last night and the insights that you get. And then you were asking the panel and demanding a tag for Christian Petrarca. And I'm sitting back going, hang on, Kingy, we've argued about this for 2 years. And you wanted a...
I got a list. My list downstairs with me stuff I thought we were going to be doing the show from.
Oh, no.
So we're upstairs. I've got no list. No, I've got 10 guys you have to tag in the comp.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good question.
Club 10.
0433-981116.
Don't ring in. Don't bother ringing.
You can't ring in. You can text us at the moment. So we've had a meltdown. Text us in. Well, what's the 40 weeks timber text? Get your unique bed match profile and find the right bed for you. Because Kingy and I have been arguing about no tags. And I tune into Fox Footy and he's demanding a Christian Petrarca tag. He's going around the panel and said, would you tag him?
And what did they do?
You're getting quite aggressive.
And what did they do?
Demanding it.
And what did they do?
And they did it well. But I've been saying they should do it all the time.
No,
and you've been saying, nah, it affects your structure. No. It's a thing of the pay. It's old
That's what
school.
The clubs tell me.
Well, that's what you've been telling me for 2 years.
Don't, as Carol would say, don't shoot the messenger.
So who are the 10?
Hey, listen, this is, I can see through your lies too, right? If you're going to start fighting with other people, don't bring it back here, right? No. I know you watch First Crack. And we talked about this on First Crack last week. Don't pretend you didn't watch it.
I actually, hand on heart, don't watch First Crack. I watch the social media breakout sometimes from First Crack. I don't watch it live. So I must have missed that if it was on. And I did see some of your stuff on 360, which I thought was very, very good on the Essendon Football Club. So I want to talk about that. And I saw some other things that you said about the Western Bulldogs this week, which I also thought was good. So I want to deep dive that with you, maybe in the agenda.
Can we have a laugh?
Bit later on.
We've got to go to an ad while we get the phones going.
You've got 2 minutes.
All right. How many teams are in the comp?
18.
Can we just have a quick little listen to this?
I'm going to make a bold prediction here now, Sam. You can lock in 6 finals teams right now.
Oh, 6.
Now, I don't really normally do this at this stage, but I cannot see how Melbourne, the Giants, the Cats, Carlton, Port and the Swans won't play finals. Which one of those teams won't play finals, Sam?
I would never disagree with
that. So that leaves two spots up for grabs. Now, the four winless teams, I don't think they're going to get there. So the Crows, West Coast, Hawthorn and North Melbourne are gone. I'm saying the two spots up for grabs are between Collingwood, the Dogs, Suns and Brisbane, with St Kilda just behind. And that leaves in no man's land a little bit.
Essendon and Richmond.
So he's mentioned 17 teams. I love Richo. He's a ripper, Richo. He's left out Fremantle totally.
They weren't happy too.
They're not even in no man's land. So what are you when you're not even in no man's land?
Well, tell me about the feedback that Fremantle fans provide, because I know you've been on the end of some of it.
I must admit, I did text Richo. I said, good luck over the next few days. They're relentless.
I want to abstain from any Richo slander, because he will come at me. So I'm out of this.
Richo, if you're up on a Friday,
I did not have anything to do with that.
No, as a representative of Fireball Friday, I think it's on you to just tweet, hey, Richo, there's 18 teams. Before the end of the show, I want you to send him publicly, nothing private. Hey, Richo, there are 18 teams.
I don't know if I can, Kingy. I'm at war with Channel 7. They're all coming after me. This would be a disaster.
Get on the front foot with this. Don't be on the back foot all the time.
Geez, you get me into trouble. The Masters is on. We'll keep you up to date with that as well. I want to ask the question, well, not that you can ring us at the moment. We'll sort that out in a second. But what's the best way to watch the Masters? So if you're lucky enough to have the two options, free-to-air, KO, there's a million channels. What is the best way for a casual golf fan, not a rusted-on, you know, lives and breathes golf, just your casual fan to watch the Masters? Can someone please let me know that? But your man, Bryson DeChambeau, DeChambeau.
This is a great day for the data guys.
Yeah.
He is data. He's the man with the extra long clubs and all that sort of rubbish.
Cam Smith is 2-under through 8. We'll keep a close eye on the Aussies. But DeChambeau, is it DeChambeau or
Bryson,
DeChambeau?
Bryson DeChambeau.
DeChambeau is the way to say it. I've heard it multiple ways. Is through 17 holes, 7-under. A nice start from him. But what's the best way to watch it? Let us know. We're up and running. Kingy's trying to get me in all sorts of trouble this morning.
All
we're
right,
going to speak about last night's game. Chris Davies, Cow Toomey, and hopefully, I'm hoping we can take some of your calls very shortly.
Hey, Richo, there's 18 teams.
Tame and King. All right, where were we? Kingy, where were we? In the middle of a conversation somewhere. Not sure what we were rambling on about, but we are back. 0433981116 at the US Masters. Bryson DeChambeau is 7-under. He is leading, and thank you to everyone who has sent a text telling me that the best way to watch the Masters is on the app. So that's what they reckon, that the app is unbelievable. Just some news that has come to hand. OJ Simpson has passed away. He died in Las Vegas. He'd been battling prostate cancer. In a statement on Twitter, his family said, on April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren.
Just going through some suspects here. I've come up with a list of 10 people that could have taken us down. Yeah. El Darcy, number one, and clearly number one. Beveridge, two. Sonia Hood, now she's off social media, taking a stance.
Brad Scott.
Hipwood at four.
Brad Scott, four.
Adam Simpson at five. Tim Taranto at six. He tried but missed.
So you think they're out wherever the transmitter is. Just
Richardson at seven. Glenn Luff makes a charge at eight. Nims is not in today. Nims for job security. He's set a hand grenade off in here. Whoa. And T. Cotchin rounds out the 10.
You left a few out.
I left a few out. I only did 10. Sorry to the 15 I left out. Oh, you're funny.
No quiz. I don't suspect we're doing the quiz this morning, but if you are just tuning in, we're back. We do have a big show. I've been told we can take interviews, so Chris Davies is going to join us. Cow Toomey from afl.com.au. And we'll review the footy from last night.
We'll take interviews. Mate, we'll be lucky to be on air at the moment.
Yeah.
We're lucky to be chatting.
Let's go through a sports update. Right. Thanks to Keezer. If you're struggling with back pain, now is the time for Keezer. Did you see that coming last night, Kingy?
No. Nah. No. Yeah. You couldn't see that coming last night, could you? It was the complete performance by a travelling team to the MC. I haven't seen a performance like that for a while.
Mm. In every area. So we'll discuss that in depth after 7 o'clock. But it was Lachie Neale's 250th. He looked a bit sore with that ankle. Chris Fagan said after the game he'll be fine. They've got a bit of a longer break. But their tackling, their contest, their ability to transition the ball and their forward line function was excellent last night for the Lions. So they are back. Did you see the sledge to Harrison Petty last night from Noah Answorth with the sort of simulating the crying sort of action?
I did. What did you think? I'm not sure that's Noah's go just yet. Just get yourself embedded into this team and play good footy before you start lighting fires like this, because it does bring up the ugly past that I think Dane Zorko was looking to move past, to be fair, and the Brisbane Lions have been looking to move past. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't think everything's fair game when you're on the footy field these days. We're learning pretty quickly over the last 3 to 4 weeks that this is unacceptable.
Yeah, I'm with you. And unfortunately for Dane, he was the one that was doing the media after the game and he was asked about it. He said he's gonna chat to his teammate about it when Dane was the one that first started it a couple of seasons ago. So Simon Goodwin and Chris Fagan were both asked about it after the game, and whether they were speaking truthfully or what, I suspect they were. They both said that they hadn't seen it. So we'll wait and see. I don't think it deserves any punishment. But I think you're right. I think Noah's just got to get himself established as a player before he starts carrying on like that. What will Sam Walsh's return do for the Blues?
Oh, it'll be huge. I want to talk about that later on. Their clearance game is out of whack at the moment, so we just need to see that get itself back online. I tell you what, you've got your way. Ruckman Sean Darcy is almost ready to go, but they're going to take another week just to make sure he's absolutely fine. And the dogs have left Caleb Daniel out, the team to face the Bombers on Friday night. Big game tonight.
Hey, Kingy, I know I'm disrupting the sports update, but I like a feud that I'm not involved in.
Oh, hang on.
So but we're both not involved.
Yes.
So I like sitting.
Talk to me. Talk to me. Bring it.
I like sitting back with the popcorn and observing a few that I'm not involved in.
Who we got?
Tom Morris v Ryan Daniels over Sean Darcy. So Tom Morris, when this injury first happened, tweeted very quickly, Sean Darcy is set to miss another 6+ weeks. Following knee surgery, the Freo Dockers had hoped for around 4-ish return, but that now appears highly unlikely. 11 minutes later, Ryan Daniels was quick on Twitter. He said, few asking, so I'm going to clarify. My understanding is Freo Dockers ruckman Sean Darcy remains on track to play within 4 weeks. Mm. He's progressing well following surgery. Rehab can throw up setbacks, but as of right now, nothing has changed, and Justin Longmuir will be on 7 Perth tomorrow.
Was Tom added in that tweet or not?
He wasn't. And then yesterday, Ryan Daniels. Sean Darcy has come up just short for this week. The Freo Dockers are erring on the side of caution. Darcy needs one more week of training, won't play for Peel this week. But that didn't satisfy Tom Morris. So Tom, as any good journalist would do, didn't mention anyone, but he did. He was quick to tweet. I'm just getting it up now. He said, Fremantle's initial time frame of 2 to 4 weeks was always ambitious. They were hopeful for this weekend, but Darcy won't play against Port. And he'd quoted in his original tweet from the 11th of March. Yeah. I love it. Very good stuff. And it's just a little minor feud bubbling away.
You know what that screams of, don't you?
What?
That screams of gather round next year. R. Daniels versus T. Morris.
In the ring.
Mano on mano. Let's sort this stuff. Hey, by the way, has the folding been sorted? Rumour reaches me there's been no folding make its way into the bank account. Is it?
You don't miss much, do you?
You do not miss it. You were on a three-day payment terms.
I can't look,
it would stagger me. To be fair, every boxer gets paid, don't they? There's never an issue with boxing, in boxing. And I know Ricky well. He would not hold back if the money was there to be given to.
We are all good.
Yeah. Have you been paid?
That was the sports update.
Have you got your cash?
Supergroups. It was never in doubt. From 1 ton to 8 ton, supergroups are the masters of Kubota excavators.
There's no cash here. Here, there's no cash. All right? Cash,
I feel for the second week in a row, I'm just being pounded. I'm absolutely being pounded this morning. I can't escape. What are we doing? Can I? Someone tell me when the next break is? Just let us know. We'll continue until I get word on that. Let's go around the grounds for Runner. It's the number one coaching running app, and I've got to say I downloaded this right up my alley, so it's magnificent. Welcome on board the team at Runner. If you're just an amateur or a professional, download the app. Magnificent, Kingy. What's the around the grounds at the Masters? Well, what's happening there?
A great day for data. A real big win. The Champion Data boys will be celebrating today. This is one of the special moments. Tyson DeChambeau has shot 7-under 65 to lead by 3 shots from Danny Willett, who was, a previous winner way back when, at Big Odds. Scheffler, Clark and Fitzpatrick are tied on 3-under, and there's a whole host of chasing pack, and clearly we're only halfway through the draw teeing off this morning, so plenty of action to come, but it's a fantastic start for the data boy.
It's one of the great weekends of sport. Now, Cam Davis is going well, the Aussies. He's tied for 4th at 3-under, and Cam Smith is 2-under through 10. So we'll keep you updated with live scores. But thank you to everyone sending those texts through on the Temper Text about the Masters app. So that was Around the Grounds at Augusta. Thanks to Runner to start your 2-week free trial like I did this week. Download the Runner app today using the code SEN. Let's get into the dig. Before you dig, lodge a free inquiry online. I wouldn't mind having a crack or a dig, I should say, at Cozzy Pickett.
Oh.
How many, and I said this after the suspension, how many times is he going to let his side down with this action? So we saw the one with Bailey Smith earlier on last year, might have been round one, where he was very lucky to escape with a 2-week sanction, I think it was, in the final against Carlton, highly undisciplined, got suspended for hitting Cripps, gave away a 50, overturned a free kick, and they didn't lose that game by much. So did he cost his team the result there? He would have been pretty handy in round one against Sydney, a game that they lost, but he wasn't there due to suspension. And I don't think he would have been the difference in the result last night, but he certainly would have helped a dysfunctional forward line. Petty didn't touch the ball until three-quarter time. Van Rooyen was quiet. Fritch kicked a couple but hardly touched it. Ben Brown hardly touched the footy, and they would have looked a lot better with Cozzy Pickett. So they've addressed it with him. They've been public about that. He's got to fix up this technique, Kingy, because he potentially cost his team last year and he's definitely cost his team this year.
No, that's a good call. It's a very good call. Can I have a dig at the unintended consequences that have just sort of crept into our game with the rule changes? Are we going to look at games now where there's 130 marks taken by the winning team?
Mm-hmm.
130 marks. Are we just going to become a skill fest? Because the man on the mark can't move. He has to stand.
And instead which of you, you like that rule,
like,
by the way.
Hey, can I finish before you rip me down?
It was a terrible rule.
It's a good rule in isolation because it does get the game flowing. But teams are electing to chip the pass 15 to 20 metres rather than get the handball overlap going and go at speed. Port Adelaide go at speed with the handball game. Sydney do the same. But I'm just noticing some teams who aren't as proficient with their running game are dropping into this uncontested marking game. And it's to me, a really sad thing to see. I don't know if you can ever stop these things and whether you need to make change, but I think it makes the game quite tedious and boring despite the fact that you're getting reward for it. So it's going to be difficult to stop.
Let's have a look at some of those. So Harris Andrews took 11 marks. Berry took 10. Charlie Cameron took 9. That's got to be a career high for Charlie Cameron, I would have thought. Leicester took 8. Zach Bailey, 10 marks. Not sure he's ever taken 10 before. And Danaher, he's taken a lot of marks. But, 130. They were plus 41 in marks.
80 uncontested marks in the back half.
Is that the way to beat Melbourne then?
Well, it might be a way to beat an individual opponent. I understand that lesser performing teams or lesser talented teams try different things. And we chatted about the Hawthorn scenario a while ago, but as soon as these sorts of methods get reward with victory, you're in trouble to stop them.
And I owe you an apology. Not that I want to be nice to you this morning because you've smashed me for about 50 minutes. I'm on board with the Gold Coast. This time last year, I think you said they're very close to
you don't get over that easy. You don't get over that. You have bought the Gold Coast. Yes, get used to
I've
that.
I've bought the membership. I'm on board. And it really struck me last week. And
I don't know if we want you straight away.
We spoke about it. The seven changes that they make. What team, and I wrote about this in The Age, what team can make seven changes and just bring in all these young guns? Like it's freakish what they've got access to. So I don't know what it looks like in the next 2 to 3 years, but I reckon you were first.
I told you.
You were still with when Stewie Jew was coaching.
And I think he's very unlucky, Stewie Jew, not to be part of this little rise.
So do you think if Dewey was there, it still would have happened for them?
Would it have changed their draft picks from last year?
No.
The academy selections?
No.
Well, I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is what he was building towards. So I take my hat off to him because you haven't heard a peep from him on all
nothing.
This.
Nothing. I think it's
more than classy and admirable the way that he's handled it. We could see this coming. So I'm proud. Mate, you can't tell people they're ugly for 3 years and then say, oh, by the way, now I find you attractive, Gornsey.
No, well, I didn't. When I had that discussion with you, they hadn't had the access to these players, although if I'd probably done some research, I would have known they were coming.
I'm with Dash. You know what? I'm with Dash.
But, oh, my goodness, Ethan, this Jed Walter.
Who'd you like the most? Who'd you like?
Him. Jed? Him. Yeah. He's big. He's aggressive. He's fast. He chases and hunts after the opposition. So the best tackling big key forward that I've seen is Josh Kennedy from the Eagles. The way that he just got after the opposition. I saw him that many rundown chase from behind tackles and he was intimidating and he just did all facets of the game well. He was a star. So I feel like there's a little bit of that about Jed Walter now. I still think they play finals this year with the draw that they've got, and I think it's going to come for them pretty quickly.
I think I said that to you last year.
You did. That's why I just
apologised.
Put
Will Graham in there. I want you close checking.
Yep.
And I'm a watcher every week. I don't try and mask the fact that I watch. Number 26, Will Graham. He's one of those players that draws traffic. And remember Shane Edwards for the Tigers?
Yes.
And pop a beautiful handball and put his teammate into clear air.
All right, that's the music winding me up. Don't dig blind. Search before you dig online every time. BYDA.com.au. Our issues are sorted in here. We're going to fly through Fireball Friday with a big show this morning. The Kogan Mobile Studios got you covered with 120 gigs for $120 to use across 12 months. Kogan.com. Click and awesome back after this.
Kane and King.
Bryson DeChambeau's finished. He leads the Masters at 7 under. Cam Davis, the best of the Aussies, tied for fourth at 3 under. He's through 9 holes. Cam Smith is through 10. He's 2 under, going along pretty nicely. We'll keep you updated if you want to have your say on that. Send us a text 0433 98 11 16. Coming up, our review of last night's game. Dominant performance from Brisbane over Melbourne. Who's in the gun? The Port Adelaide football boss is Chris Davies. The Friday agenda and Callum Toomey. A $100 kick-in voucher for a sensational seafood menu at an affordable price. Happy taste buds, happy wallet, happy you for the best texter of the morning because we've just had a couple of issues.
Just a couple of issues.
A few gremlins.
Yeah, we were off air for 15 minutes. I'm looking forward to chatting about this game with you because I think when you look at the top 6 to 8 perceived best teams at the moment, they've all got a wart or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very early in the season. We don't need to make radical statements, but they just are getting exposed week on week, a couple of these little warts.
All right, let's have a quick weather update. Thanks to United Energy. United's energy year-round vegetation inspection and cutting program is keeping communities safe. In Melbourne, it's 12 degrees, headed for a top of 18. In Adelaide, it's 10, headed for a top of 21. We'll talk some footy next.
Fireball.
Thursday night footy. It is Melbourne and the Brisbane Lions, and on AFL Nation, you're with Matt.
Gorn worked his way to the front, taken by Petrarca to Neil Bullen. Want to defend it off, then goes himself. Side of the boots, puts it through. It looked accidental at first look. May just tapped the ball out of Danaher's hand, but it was enough for a 50-metre penalty. But this will bring Big Joe right to the goal mouth and bang, puts it through at the City End. Second goal, Brisbane. The Bailey Fritz just inside 50. Onto the boot it goes. It's a terrific kick.
Danaher from 50 launched it. That's when he's at his best.
McCluggage bursting his way through. Had no one to kick it to. Howes off the ground. Coughs it up. Picked up by Fletcher around the body. He's a real little goal sneak, this man, Jasper Fletcher. Rainer snap round the body, centering ball. Lohman can get the crumbs here. And then trundles it through for a goal. Mays in there. Plenty of players around the football, but Clarkage found a little bit of space. Oh. And then a secondary soccer kick. Fell to ground, and then Oliver's hands was snaffled by Cameron. Cameron read it better. Round the corner, kicks the goal. And that's the knockout punch right between the eyes.
McCarthy kept it out in front and then goes and wins the ball. Hand pass to Bailey, put down your glasses.
Answer.
Straight away.
Got it to Bailey, blazing through the middle of the G. And then lights out, found Charlie, took the mark, turned around, tucked it out of the arm, charged into goal. Bang! Three for Charlie.
After the big mark, can he kick a big goal? From 47 metres out, he hit it pretty well. They've come good late, Melbourne.
He would have thought, I'm a chance to get skittled here, but he stood underneath it.
It's a win to restore the credentials of the Brisbane Lions. They come into Melbourne, they take down a form team, and they're fresh to go about their business and rebuild their year. The margin to be determined by the Van Rooyen kick, it hits the posts. It is a 22-point victory for the Lions over Melbourne. In front of 43,098 fans.
That was how the team, the magnificent team of AFL Nation, called the action last night. Brisbane getting it done by 22 points in front of a crowd just above 43,000. They now go to 2-3 with a couple of big weeks to come. Geelong at the Gabba at GWS in the next couple of weeks for the Lions. And for Melbourne, Kingy, well, they go to the bye and address some issues that have probably been building for a little bit. And they will, after playing a lot of footy in a short space of time, gather their thoughts. 1-300-736-736 is the Mimosa Homes open line. And it's a very good morning to those of you joining us for the first time. It's our review of Melbourne taking on the Lions for the Drain Man. Drain problems, call the experts the Drain Man, the best analyst in football. How'd you see it?
I thought it was the best coaching performance that I've seen from Chris Fagan for a long time.
Right.
They've won some big games and they've won bigger games. They've won finals. They've been on show and in the prime time spotlight for a couple of years now, there to win it and right at the pointy end. But last night I thought that the tactical brilliance that he showed, the first team that's put meaningful time into Christian Petrarca and what he brings post-stoppage. So he's there for the clearance, and if Melbourne don't win the ball, or they do, he tends to leak forward. We saw him do that against Port Adelaide and have great success. Mm. And Neil Bourne or one of those others will come up and assume his role as a midfielder and do the defensive actions, and he'll sneak forward and impact the game. Forward of centre is the best player in the comp. So to see them put a wingman to him at stoppages, time and time again, it was Berry, it was Fletcher. It was Archie, it was whoever was there would do the job. So big tick there tactically. The second thing that he did is he put Charlie Cameron further from goal than just out of the goal square, Charlie. And that had a big impact on the talls because it meant that Lever and May had to play on Hipwood and Danaher. So I thought that was great coaching. It's nothing remarkable, but it's just things that we hadn't seen before. And then the uncontested mark game, which I don't really like this style of footy, Cornsy, but I just think, you know, the way that they set this game up, it forced Melbourne to play Brisbane's game rather than the other way around. So in the end, they brained them at stoppage. You know, that first three quarters, they were plus 15 points. It was 10 scores to 4 from clearance, and it was game over. So it was simple as that for me.
How much do we overreact with Melbourne? And they spoke about the games that they've played in a short space of time, the 2 weeks in Adelaide, 3 games in 13 days, I think it was. But if this was, I don't know, if this was the Western Bulldogs or Essendon, we'd be pretty scathing on that performance just because they were smashed in every facet. Like, there was not really a positive that you could walk away from that game from Melbourne. But how much do we factor that in with their past performance this year? Because they've been going pretty well. Their win-loss would suggest they're going really well. The performance against Port Adelaide, maybe, you know, they should have lost that. If you look at the numbers, Adelaide, we're not sure what sort of side they are, and then they turned up and performed like that last night. So How much of a dent has it put in Melbourne's aspirations on how you see them?
Oh, well, you have to judge what you see. I mean, we can't be worried about what the brand is, what the jumper is. You've just got to judge what you see. And I said it before the break, you know, most teams at the top of the tree at the moment have got some issues. You know, Melbourne are not the full book yet without the footy. Right. We talk a lot about, you know, Lever and May, and sometimes we get consumed and the eye can tell you something and the numbers can tell you something else. They haven't been a great intercept team in terms of between the arcs so far this season. They haven't been the team that denies ball movement, you know, D50 to inside 50 for the opposition like they have been over the past 3 to 4 years this year. We're only a month in. They've stacked a couple of wins. They're in a good position. If they keep going at this ratio, they finish top four again. And that's all they're probably trying to do. But they're not. They're miles from where they've been. There's been better versions of Melbourne. And they are evolving, Cornsy. So I think we've got to be a little bit patient. They're working on some ball movement stuff. So maybe that opens them up a little bit more the other way. You know, to get some offensive gains, you've got to give up something. So they've given up a bit of their defence. And maybe they're still evolving. Mm. So I think we're going to be quick to judge. We can only judge what we see. But they were smashed in tight last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Smashed clearance. Anything to do with contest, smashed at ground ball, plus 21. Smashed in tackles, plus 30. And you wonder when you see them like that last night. So what's their real weapon? Like if Petrarca isn't streaming inside forward 50 and being that damaging threat forward of centre, what is it? Is there any weapon off half-back that you're worried about? Rivers is really good, solid player. McVee the same, but when he's doing a job, you lose that drive. We know Lever and May are there and their weapons and gone, but do they have as many X-factor players? Like you look at what Brisbane have done and you can sort of rattle off five or six X-factor players capable of ripping that game away from you. Just not sure you see that with Melbourne, as much as a lot of their players like Windsor and Sparrow and Rivers have improved. Chandler's another one. They've all improved, but do they have enough A-graders to go where they need
they
to
have
go?
A-grade. I mean, I think we're going too far too early. They all had a bad night at the same time.
Talk to me about their genuine A-graders. So Petrarca, Oliver's not an A-grader at the moment. He's going awful.
No, he's been pretty good. I think
last 2 weeks have been awful, and he's not clearly, and whether it's the finger and the glove and the dislocation, the prepro, whatever it is, he's not anywhere near the player that he's been.
He's been a top five player in our comp for 5 years.
Any of his possessions last night, did any of them worry you?
No, he had an off night last night, so I agree with you on that. I think Gorn's a top liner. Viney's having a very, very good season. Petrarca had a poor performance last night, but he's been exceptional.
Give you those.
So there's three of their.
And Fritch, I'll give you.
Neil Bullen.
Yeah.
He'd be in your All-Australian team if you had a meeting tomorrow.
He'd probably be in the squad, yep.
I think McVee's been terrific. I don't think there's been an issue with him. I think May and Lever, where's the problem there?
No problem there.
There's about eight players.
I don't think Viney is a player capable of ripping it away from you. I don't think McVee
He's been better than that this year.
I don't think Neil Bullen is going to rip it away from
you. But
he has.
I watched you talk about Neil Bullen the last couple of weeks.
But that's against the likes of Adelaide, who are a poor side.
Port Adelaide?
He was great against Port Adelaide. It's the best game I've seen him play. But when you're putting him up against Cameron, when you're putting him up against McCluggage, what Rayner did last night, what Zorko can do, what Neil can do, what Harris Andrew, what Dunkley did last night. So I'm just posing the question.
No,
do
I think
they have enough
been,
threats?
I think they got some more credits than that. I think we just have to sometimes say, okay, is that performance an aberration? I think it is. I think they've been one of the most consistent teams across the last 5 years. They went out in straight sets by some heartbreaking opportunities in front of goal, really. But let's talk about the winners for a moment, Cornsy. Is that the best game you've seen Cam Rayner play?
Yeah, well, I've got him written down. So this guy's really frustrated me for a while because of that reason last night. Like, what could they be if he can produce that every, you know, couple of weeks this year? Now, it's not going to be every week. He plays a difficult position and he's not quite there yet as a Christian Petrarca consistent player, but he has all those attributes to do that. I mean, 10 inside 50s, his clearance work, he had 9, 6 of them in about the first 15 minutes last night. If he can be the one that comes up to stoppage, like the goal he has done, like many others have done that we continually speak about, what could it mean for Brisbane?
Yeah. He's one of my boys. He's one of the tackle breakers. He's yeah. right up there over the last couple of years. So that sort of frame, that sort of strength.
Power
coming out of clearance, they just have maximum damage. So when you've got Rayner playing, even if he's 70% of that going forward on a consistent basis, if you've got Neil McCluggage, who's always high damage, and Rayner, things change pretty quick.
And Dunkley as well, like just
Dunkley's your solid citizen
for the balance. For the balance of the midfield, and then I don't know what they're going to get from Ashcroft coming back in, but he's certainly going to help. It's looking a lot better. Now, as I said, the next 2 weeks are really difficult, Geelong and GWS. We're going to find out a bit more about where they sit against those two sides as well.
But they've always had this talent, Corns. This is what keep coming back to. What was different about last night? And what was different about last night was the tactical nous of Fagan in his coach's box. So it's not all Chris. Let's spread the load. Let's spread the love. That coach's box, which I think has never been wrapped in its life. I can't remember one person saying, hey, great Mark's, coaching performance,
great,
Chris
well
Fagan.
Well done, Mark Stone.
Stoney's not even there.
They've been
that's my point.
Unheralded for a long time. But they had a group that had been together for a long time. They've lost a couple of those in the off-season last year. But you're right. I reckon they looked at the Adelaide game. We were lucky enough to speak to Zorko prior to the game, just from the boundary line of the MCG, about an hour and 40 minutes before the game. And I said, did you have a look at what Adelaide did last week? They were boring. They were slow. What are you going to do? He said, well, we just have to take them. We just have to take them on. We have to. And he knew something that we didn't, just with their ability to take those 130 uncontested marks that you speak of. So, yeah, you're right, though. I heard you speak about it last night. Chris Fagan gets smashed when they lose games for those reasons, and one of those games was against Melbourne after they had a big lead last year and they didn't defend it well enough. So let's pump him up. And he was pretty calm as well when they were 0-3, which I thought was important. He said, look, we're not going as bad as what you think. We are going.
Oh, no. He was lying to us there. I'm not giving him credit for that.
But he was calm, though. But he was calm because you can't panic for your players. Like, you're the guy. You've got to look like you're in control. And I thought he looked like he was in control. And I thought he instilled some belief into the group, even though they were going pretty poorly. But they had a huge lead against the Blues and lost by a point. They went to Fremantle. I'm not sure how many teams are going to win in Perth against Freo this year. So that, and then the Collingwood game perhaps turned a bit of a corner for them. But I thought his attitude and his demeanour, it was pretty calm.
Well, one of my pet hates is when you smash them with ruck work, with hit-out work, and it has no influence on clearance. I'm not a midfielder, was never a midfielder, and I don't understand the science of tap work to clearance, right? I think it's one of the greatest myths in our game, right? That you can win the hit-outs. What is it? What was it? 47-22, and you can lose first possession, and you can get smashed at clearance. That's a three quarter time now. Minus 15 at clearance, Melbourne. Yet they were plus 25 hitouts. So you got a guy who can direct the ball where you want it to go, yet you lose it. I have real trouble understanding how those two don't come together.
Well, it's another credit to Brisbane's midfield to be able to just pick them off like that. I mean, every midfielder wants a dominant ruckman. You'll speak about it. We're seeing what even Soldo has done for Port Adelaide after they haven't had a ruckman. He's been important for them. But you're right, they got Gawn 51 hit-outs to 26 against McInerney, and they got smashed. That is a frustration. But once again, credit to the stoppage work from the Lions, the way that they scouted this, and the way that they can win clearance off the back of that. And it does beg the question whether ruckmen are overrated, which we've said for a while. I don't think Gawn's overrated because of the stuff he does around the ground as well. But genuine tap ruckman, you just would never pay big money for ruckman. No. I wouldn't anyway.
So the Cameron role, I don't want to see Charlie other goal scorer again. I don't. I just don't. I think it works better when you've got your tools down there. Because what it did do, it meant that Lever and May had to come out of the goal square. So they lose that 360 degree intercept capability. And they're gettable on a fast lead. That dropping, dipping ball that comes from a clearance, the forwards always react first to that.
Yeah, and people got one in the first quarter.
They got about four in the first half. Yeah, you know, a meter's just too much, and there's not much you can do as a defender. You can be the best we've ever seen. You really can't recover from that position. But if that's Charlie Cameron in the goal square and May and Lever are 30 or 40 from goal, they can fall back onto that footy. Yeah. So I think they've learned a big lesson that Charlie's still going to have impact. Charlie had 10 score involvements last night. He was the number one score involvement player on the field, playing a role that he hadn't played for months. Mm. Well, not months, for 30 games.
So he's finally got his teeth sorted after Chris Fagan said that's been a huge issue for him.
Was it fang related?
He's got his teeth knocked out. Apparently there's been all sorts of drama for him in the off-season, but looked like he had those sorted. What about when he just mocked Jake Lever? Just took a mark.
I love that.
99.9% of players go back and have a shot, and he's just gone, nah, I'm going to make a certainty of this. It's going to be a foot race. And poor old Jake Lever. You ever been in that position? You were quite fast as a player.
I chased your brother like that one time.
It is embarrassing. And he just ran into the goal square and slotted
it. The funniest part of that is it took Eric Hipwood six steps to realise he's not giving the handball.
Well, didn't Eric start well? And then he didn't touch the footy in the second half. So there's still some improvement for the Lions. Don't worry about that. So you can have your say. Send us a text, 0433981116. Wouldn't mind speaking about Harrison Petty on the other side of this. But it's our review for Drain Relining. It's the no-dig, no-drama way to rehabilitate your assets. The Drain Man. We're in the Kogan Mobile Studios. They've got you covered with 120 gigs for $120 to use across 12 months. Kogan.com. Clicking awesome. It was the Lions by 22 points. They go to 2 wins and 3 losses with a big fortnight coming up. And for Melbourne, well, they have a break as well. We'll be back after this.
.au. Kane and King.
5-0 Friday, thank you for your company. The US Masters is underway. What a weekend of sport it'll be. Bryson DeChambeau leads at 7-under. The best of the Aussies, Cam Davis, is 2-under through 10. So he's dropped the shot. And Cam Smith, where has he gone?
He's dropped a little bit as well.
Right down. Yeah, so he's now even through 12, tied for 30th.
Good day for the data, man. Good day for data.
Is underway as well in his first round. He is even through four holes. So Tiger is back for another crack at the Masters. Did Adelaide dodge a bullet by not securing Harrison Petty?
Really?
Wow. Did you see what they were offering up for Petty? Now, I'm led to believe it was 2 first-round draft picks.
Well, you know it's 2 first-round draft picks. Don't give me led to believe.
So... Would they go after seeing, and granted he's had a disrupted preseason and all of that, and he was okay last week, but after seeing him in action recently, do you think that offer should be off the table? There's no way I'm giving 2 first-round picks with where Adelaide are at and their desperate need to bring in fresh talent to that squad that I'm giving up 2 first-round draft picks for a player like Harrison Petty.
I'm not, the amount of players that I would give up 2 first-round draft picks for... would be, I would say, 1 in every 5 years.
So we agree.
So Jeremy Cameron would be the only one of the current batch that I would have ever given up 2 first-round draft picks or more for.
So the ones that have left.
What about
Horn Francis? You definitely
would. No, I wouldn't have given up two. No.
Oh, come on.
A midfielder. Well, you just get another one. You just go and get Georgie Wardlaw.
I'm not sure there's many running around doing what he's doing.
You'd give up 2 for him, would you?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. I wouldn't, not for a midfielder. I think that you can still find, they may not be 9.8 out of 10, they might be
what about
9
Gordon?
Out of 10.
Would you have given up 2 for Errol Gordon?
No, I don't think you do. I don't think that helps your list build. I don't think it does. In the long run, tell me a team that's done it and got through it well.
Hmm. I'll have to have a think about that. But what we are agreeing on is after Petty doesn't touch the footy for 3 quarters, and I'm not sure he's a forward. I'm not sure. I think he's a better defender, clearly, but they have a need for him to play forward. Adelaide sitting back, and Justin Reid, I'm going, geez, we've made some errors with our list management. I don't think it's wise to go back to the well and try and give 2 first-round draft picks.
I like my recruiters to attach themselves to decisions too. Hey, if this one doesn't work, right, I'm going to sell the farm on this one. I'm giving away 2 first-rounders for Petty. And you know what? If it doesn't work, in 3 years' time, I will walk.
Well, it's the most secure job in football. Recruiters they stick around and they stick around. No one works out if they've made a good call until 10 years down the track. No, he'll come good.
I feel sorry for our man at the Saints, Chris Tocci. he got flicked, and the first four picks of last year's draft, they're all playing for the Saints. Round six, round five.
What do you reckon, Crows fans, if there's any of you listening? And D's fans, I reckon you probably should have traded him for that offer that was on the table last year. It's time for the 7:30 news headlines. We definitely need a coffee from the Mick Cafe. All right, let's quickly name our six best players last night. Thanks to Sixt, book car and truck rental with Sixt. That's Sixt, that is Sixt.com.au. Who'd you like, David King?
Well, I didn't put them in any particular order, but Rayner we've spoken about. Andrews I thought was brilliant. Charlie Cameron, I just can't stop watching Charlie. Dunkley was very good. McCluggage is always good. Lockie Neal in his 250th, and well done, Lockie. Gee, he's been a star, hasn't he,
yes,
of the competition.
Star.
Small stars in the midfield, they get elevated even higher. And I just threw Chandler in for Melbourne. I thought he was very
seven.
Good.
This is a top six, not
okay.
Seven.
All right, well, I'll put an extra one in. Just for good. I just thought we had to have a Melbourne flavour.
See how it's six car and truck rental, and it's sort of okay. The whole premise is
right.
To name
I'll
your
I'll take
six.
Out Chandler then. Not, I not needed seven. To put – we can't have six Brisbane players.
It's not seven
I'll take
car
Neil
and truck
out.
Rental.
I'll take
it's sixt.com.au to book.
We've had a rough
Don't
day.
Don't be a smart aleck about it.
We've had a rough day in here. Where's Das?
Where's Richo? I wasn't brave enough to tweet.
No, come on. Richo. I want you to do it one tweet. Richo, there are 18 teams in the competition.
Who do you cop the most fan backlash from? Is it Freo, do you think? Who gets
I engage. I don't mind. I don't mind feedback. And I enjoy the conversation because you do learn a lot about teams. This is where I differ from a few. I think that people that watch their team week in, week out, and they go to training and they're finger on the pulse with all the news that comes out, they know more about their team than probably we do, right? Because we're skimming 18 teams. Mm. Some are skimming, some are going a bit deeper. But I embrace that knowledge. But I get a lot of feedback from Essendon supporters. Essendon and Fremantle. Yeah, Fremantle's been a rough couple of weeks.
I thought you might get a bit from the Bombers fans, which I want to discuss with you after. What was the word? A mess? Did you say it was a mess?
Yeah, they are a mess.
Yeah, and we'll discuss that a little bit later on in the program. So,
hey,
Bombers
just,
fans.
We've got a Twitter poll coming up too. Or just before we put it up, to put a full stop on the Melbourne-Brisbane discussion, does it change your thoughts on Melbourne on where you've got them finishing at the end of season?
I thought they'd be there on prelim final week. I said as much on Monday. No, it doesn't significantly change it, but I'd love to see Oliver get going. I think they're heavily relying on Petrarca and Oliver. And I'm just a little bit concerned about Clayton with the way that I'm seeing him handling the football and the way that he's moving. So I think they desperately need to get him going. Now, maybe the bye comes at a good time. What about for you? Has it dented your confidence in
them? Dented my confidence? No. Look, I thought they would have banked that one last night at the MCG. And Brisbane don't like hearing it, but they don't win at the MCG.
Yeah.
They've won one of something like 18 games at the MCG.
They've been okay, though. They're pretty good on grand final day.
Yep. No, they've been okay.
Night.
As Dennis Pagan used to say, you know what? You start accepting okay, son. You talk like losers.
All right.
That's how losers talk, you know? That's how losers talk.
Thanks to Choices Flooring, discover the power of colour with Spaces for Living Sale. Will Melbourne, off the back of last night, finish top four this year, and has it changed your opinion of them? Just a simple yes or no. I'm led to believe we've turned the lay back on, so we can start to take some of your calls on the Mimosa Homes open line. So look out. Well, I'm prepared to go there after this. If you've been waiting to have your say on Fireball Friday, 1300 736 736. You can do that next. We're doing it all thanks to Melbourne Airport Parking. You can book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au. And powered by Kubota, take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. A couple of your calls next. Just getting a bit of correspondence off the back of our talk around Twitter is that Kingy likes to engage, but he's quick to block.
No, that's not true. if you're going to have a meaningful and rational discussion, I'm all
What's
for
the
it.
Block count? What's the block count
the
up
block
to?
Block count, the boys just asked me a block count. It's at 1,014. I'd like to welcome a dozen Freo supporters and Thomas Carboni.
2014. Found him just welcome Thomas to the block club.
Did himself a mischief during the week.
So 2016. How do we even find out how many people?
Yeah, go into your settings.
Oh, Keithy seems to have done himself a mischief.
Support, into privacy.
Privacy, yeah. It'll be there.
All right, I'll
You've got me on blocked, I think, actually.
I'll probably have blocked you.
You haven't put an ice bath out for a while, actually.
I put one out last week.
Did you?
When he just destroyed Essendon single-handedly off 65% game time. Anyway, that's a discussion for another time. It's time now for this.
In the gun. Who have Payne and Kingy got in their sights this week?
Oh, I was going to put them in the gun. Just an update. I've got 47 blocked accounts on Twitter and 45 muted.
So the mute's
an excellent feature.
Teasing yourself.
If someone's really annoying you with the rubbish that they're putting out there on Twitter, Tim Gossage, you can just mute them. And they don't know that you've blocked them. So you don't see their tweets, but you're not cruel enough to
That's a really weak way of doing it.
Block them.
Just block him.
I think it's a good feature.
Have you sent that tweet out yet to Richard?
This is In The Gun for Grays Online, Australia's leading online auction marketplace. Kingy, who got in the gun this week?
I'll tell you who I've got in the gun this week, and I'll tell you why I've got them in the gun. I've got the guys that should be doing the heavy lifting at footy clubs are 25 years of age plus. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at I watched the West Coast last week, and I take my hat off to Mitch McGovern and Cripps and Yo and Kelly and Duggan, even though he didn't use the ball great, Hunt and Barasta. They gave everything last week to get their team over the line. Wasn't to be, but gee, they gave a good account of themselves in the first half and scared the Sydney Swans. So I'm looking at the Adelaide Crows and the North Melbourne 25 pluses, guys like Walker, Smith, Laird, something please, Rory. Crouch has been pretty good. O'Brien can find a yard. Keys can do more. Dawson can definitely lead better and do more. Hinge, those sorts of guys. Got to do the heavy lifting. The Kangaroos at the moment are operating off the back of the kids. Mm-hmm. It's time for the guys that were recruited to the footy club to do something. Greenwood, Core, Tucker, those guys.
McDonald.
Well, McDonald's in there. He's 30 years of age. Simpkin, Larky's going just okay, but they're more than just okay. Fisher. So these are the sort of guys I'm talking about. If you're 25 plus at a football club at the moment, hey, she's shoulder to the wheel.
All right, in the gun for me, and I like that as well. If you've got someone you want to put in the gun, let us know. 0433981116. I'm just looking at Darcy Parrish, who's third game back, and I watched Libba last week against Geelong single-handedly almost keep his team in that game. The tenacity that guy played with was extraordinary, and he's done it for a long time. And then I'm watching Darcy Parrish just run around collecting touches, but not inflicting damage. And so I thought, I'll look up Darcy. What's his goal count? I mean, the best midfielders are the ones that are actually doing the damage, either leading to scores or putting that on the scoreboard themselves. 2022, he kicked 3 goals. Last year, he kicked 3 goals. This year, hasn't kicked a goal. So can he get forward and start inflicting some damage rather than running around getting 6 kicks and 15 handballs like he did against Port Adelaide last week? He looks like he's plodding to me. I don't know why he's got his socks up, but it's made him look slower. And I'm not seeing any of the 6-year contract that he's been rewarded with on big money. So Darcy Parrish, your captain is leading the way. Zach Merritt's been extraordinary. I think the responsibility is on you tonight to go up against Libba and Bont and the work that they're doing and go, okay, I'm actually going to have a meaningful influence on this game. So he is in the gun. Grays Online, Australia's leading online auction marketplace. It's easy to buy and sell with Grays. A lot of text coming through. No one over 25 at North have composure. All of them are poor decision makers and headless chooks. Adelaide looked like they dodged a bullet with Petty. I've been a Bombers supporter for 50 years and I'm at a loss, just no good, says Matt. Well, that was a sort of in line with your discussion that you had with the guys on AFL 360, Kingy, in terms of all of the different areas. So we spoke about the top teams as one or two areas that they'd like to fix up, but you rattled off about 6 with the Bombers that are all an issue.
Yeah, I mean, in short, they can win it at clearance because they're some good players in there. And I'm glad you wrapped up Zach Merritt. I think he's having a terrific season. He's trying his hardest to lead this club. And I think their clearance profit-loss sheet, their balance sheet's going really well. But any time it goes into a ball movement, whether you've got it or they've got it, they're awful. And in my mind's eye, I thought, oh, no, they're a dangerous team with the ball, because you keep the 2023 visions of the teams at the moment in your mind. Last year, they were the second-best team at moving the ball. This year, they're second-worst. And I thought, that can't be right. I've got to have a look at that. That just can't be right. You have a look at the ball users down back. McGrath is the 14th-ranked halfback flanker in the comp. He's going really well. Heppel's 31st. Now, I've been hard on Dyson, and I think that's okay for him. They're not expecting him to be much more than that. Nick Martin, what is this role with Nick Martin now? Was he the right man? Looked really good during preseason. He's the 38th-ranked general defender for ball use, 143rd in the competition. So have they set it up for the right man?
He's getting a stack of it. Well, we sort of touched on this. He kicked 19 goals as a wingman last year and was really important. So you lose that as well for putting him to halfback.
And Mason Redmond, who was a freewheeler last year, is the 151st ranked kicking ball user in the comp. So they're sort of lost everywhere. Now, Dersmer comes in and plays the wing role, but Martin was playing it better than anyone. Mm. So what, you know, not critical of trying it, but I think you've got to assess it and you've got to make change. So if they roll on with this for another 3, 4, 5 weeks, you've got to start to question why. I think they need to make a shift there. I think Redmond's their perfect counterpuncher, the freewheeler. And if it's not working, maybe just go retreat back to where you'd been last year. I'm at a loss with their ball movement stuff.
I fear for them tonight. The Western Bulldogs on that ground can be as deadly as any team, so I'm just not sure they can go toe-to-toe with them tonight. So that one could get ugly and the season could slip away pretty quickly. Caleb Daniels being dropped.
Mm.
He's an Adelaide boy. He's from South Adelaide. You think he's perfect for the Crows in terms of actually giving them some dare off halfback? Because I've watched them play a lot, Adelaide, and gee, they're boring. And who's their ball user off halfback? There isn't one. It was probably Dawson and Hinge, but Dawson's gone in the midfield and Hinge hasn't been the player that he was last year. Brody Smith is getting on a fair bit now and hasn't had a great season. Would you pick up the phone if you're Adelaide and sound out Caleb Daniel and try and get him to your club and settle him to say, look, halfback's yours?
I would. I know there's a big price tag there. He's just recently signed a pretty sizable deal. But you've got to get the player. They've got to fix the system. So the cost is the cost. I think he'd be a good acquisition for any club, Caleb Daniel. He's clearly out of love. It's a bad relationship where he is. The Dogs need to find a couple of picks, and we had this discussion last weekend. I think the Dogs have got these three tools that are going to be there for a decade.
Yep.
You've got to build around them. Bont's got probably, what, 6 really good seasons left?
Max.
Yeah, Max, mate, say 5. So why not get adventurous with English? Let him go. Get your first-round picks in. Bailey Smith, let him go. Get the first-round picks in. See if you can get something for Jackson McRae, because he's not part of your weaponry now. And you're falling out of love with Caleb Daniel. Get something for him. If you get a second rounder, grab it and go. Roll again.
You don't think they're good enough, do you?
I don't think they're good enough.
You may sneak into the 8, but they're not good enough.
They're not good enough to win it. But they could be good enough to win it in 2 years if they get their drafting correct in the short term and give up a bit to get up the draft order a little bit.
Yeah. So is that what do you make then of the coach who we often speculate about and I've spoken about? If they're not good enough now and you want to do sort of a mini reset and get some talent in and be really aggressive with your list management, which I don't disagree with, mind you. I think English is definitely the one that you can let go. And the others, you know, Bailey Smith looks like he's going anyway, Daniel and McRae out of favour. If they're not good enough now, and they've said that they think they are, they think they've got a top 4 list, what does it mean for Luke Beveridge?
Yeah, time again, I don't know if the CEO would dive into the list discussion. He made that comment in an interview with us on Crunch Time last year. I think he put unfair pressure on the coach at that stage. I think the coach knows exactly where they're at, hence him not really getting involved in the public discussion of who they are. He just talks about game day. He talks matter-of-fact about where they're at. You know, their stuff with the footy's really good. Their ball movement stuff's really good. We've always talked about them wanting another interceptor. The way they're using Norton, no one agrees with, but they're using him in a way that's opening it up for Darcy and Jamara to go to work. So there is a benefit there. But they've got to get aggressive as a footy club now. They've won their flag. The coach won the flag. You can't take that off him, Cornsy. They're bloody hard to win, right?
Yep.
So you've got to give him a few years' grace after that. But now they've got to go again. They can't meander as a football club. They've got to get aggressive.
So reset with the current coach.
I think so. I think he's earned the right. They're clearly not a good enough list right now. Their bottom six players are as poor as anyone's. Do you agree with that?
No, I think if you go through every team, you can find their bottom six.
Nah, I don't agree with that.
To be quite poor.
No. Carlton's bottom six are very... Brisbane's bottom six. Give me Brisbane's bottom six players.
Well, Answorth, Leicester,
Leicester's
Gardner.
Played 200 games.
Yeah, but he's not, he's not anything better than what the Western Bulldogs have got. Fletcher, young player coming through who will be a good player, but I mean, you can go through every club. I can go through the Blues bottom six and go, Kemp, Boyd.
Boyd's a good player.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything more than what the Western Bulldogs have got, but then they've got the top end stuff that no one has access to. So you can't talk about their bottom six.
Tell us on the temper text.
Top six.
Have I got them wrong? Have I got their bottom six wrong? I think
I don't.
Bottom
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I don't disagree with what you're saying about. And every team will look to do that. You see Geelong after they won the flag, they bring in extraordinary talent. Bruin's been really important for them. Henry Bowes has been important. Jai Clark's a pick seven. So every team is looking to do that. So I definitely agree with what you're doing in terms of getting your list better and bringing in talent. But right now, I don't think the season is a write-off for the Dogs just because of the top level of talent that they've got on their list. But Bulldogs fans, don't miss the action tonight because I reckon you're going to have a pretty strong performance against the Bombers. Tickets are selling fast at ticketmaster.com.au. It's Fireball Friday. Still to come, Chris Davies and Cal Toomey from afl.com.au with all the news. Just an update on Kingy's block count. Kingy blocked me for sticking up for him. What? I used some choice language and he must have thought I was aiming it at him. Now, that is from an unnamed texter. Can you please send through your Twitter handle so Kingy can go about unblocking you? This poor lad is trying to stick up for you and you've blocked him. You're too sensitive.
Why would he use choice language? What's the point?
1,400 people you've blocked.
Most of them Freo supporters.
And anyone you said last week you don't like them.
All of the Horn Francis is a block.
You said Fremantle. I don't like Fremantle.
I was jovial. That's just so sensitive. God.
They didn't take it that
way.
It was
the old, does my bum look big in this sort of discussion? You can't win when you talk about Freo.
All right. Dogs have improved their bottom six with Harms, Caulfield, Gallagher, Sanders, Darcy and Karmas, West, etc., who've all been brought into the side at some stage this season. They've lost guys like Scott, McNeil, Gardner.
Question for you to think about during the news.
Yeah.
I want the team that's got the best bottom six and the team that's got the worst bottom six.
Okay. I think I know who's got the worst. I'll have to look at the best. We'll do that next. All right, we'll discuss the depth of list very, very shortly. I've had a look at the best, bottom six, and the worst during the ad break, and we'll report back on that before 9 o'clock. Still to come also, afl.com.au. Cal Toomey's going to join us, and the Friday agenda. If you want to get set to put something on the agenda with us, you can. But right now, it's been a big week for the Port Adelaide Football Club. And it's all thanks to In-Place Living Specialist Disability Accommodation Design for you. Their GM of football is Chris Davies. CD, thanks for your time.
No worries, Kane. How are you?
You play Friday night. Your captain rips it apart, plays the best game he's played at the club, and everything's going pretty well. But things took a turn since, and the following night it was revealed about the homophobic slur from Jeremy Finlayson. How do you think it's been handled from the AFL, and where do you sit as a result as a footy club?
Oh, look, we've said that we accept the penalty, and part of Jeremy taking responsibility for the incident itself was to make sure that whatever the penalty was that the AFL thought was appropriate was to be accepting that as well. I mean, I think it could have been done quicker. But overall, we need to cop what is right in this situation. The AFL thinks that's 3 weeks.
Were you, and you've been pretty accepting of that publicly, and you haven't, you yourself, referenced Alistair Clarkson's suspension, but is that frustrating for you, I guess, the disparity for similar incidents?
I think, look, I don't think it does serve, you know, any real purpose to go back, but there's no doubt that you know, these should be dealt with in a similar way into the future. And I think that was largely what David Koch was trying to say on Jeremy's behalf. But, yeah, we know Jeremy shouldn't have put us in that situation. He did, and we accepted. And you know, I'd encourage everyone to try and move forward, despite the fact that, you know, this is a significant issue in society and it needs to be cleaned up.
Mm. I was pretty strong on Monday about Jeremy, and we're all understanding of the challenges that he's facing, and we get that. But I sort of said, once you put your hand up and you cross the white line, you've got to represent your club and your teammates as best you can. I don't feel like he's done that consistently at times, CD. I think his body language at times is poor, and he can let that get the better of him. Have you addressed that with him as a club?
I mean, yeah, we have been, Kane, over a period of time. And as you say, again, without diminishing the issue and, you know, what Jeremy said, he has been living a really stressful life over the last couple of years. And that doesn't in any way suggest that this is okay. It's not. But, you know, we need to work with Jeremy to try and get the best out of him into the future. And, you know, dealing with what he is off field, you know, can't be easy. But, you know, we are after more consistency from Jeremy each week, definitely. That we can't deny that. He started the season pretty well, albeit, you know, if Ollie Lord was still fit at the start of the year, he probably wouldn't have started in the team. But, yeah, that's where he's at now. He's going to be out for the next 3 weeks, and, you know, it'll be a challenge for him to get back in, I'm sure. But we are looking for more consistency from Jeremy, and, you know, not just him, but a few others as well.
Chris, how did you think that Port Adelaide handled the whole situation with Jeremy? Did you think that time again you'd have done things a fair bit different?
Look, I'm not sure that's the case, David. I'm not really sure what else we could have done, to be honest. I mean, as is well documented now, Jeremy, you know, put his hand up at three-quarter time. We're in a situation where we knew that this would be investigated. I mean, if I had my time again, I might probably work harder to get the AFL to do things more quickly. But overall, you know, I think, you know, the club's response has been to put its hand up and make sure that we accept that the issue itself was a significant one, and try and, you know, help the AFL with the framework of sorting the issue out.
Yeah, outside looking in, it felt to me like you went into a damage control in terms of the penalties for Jeremy, rather than accepting that you're at the mercy now and throwing yourself at the mercy of the AFL regarding the penalty.
Yeah, look, I accept that you can have a position on that, David. I reject that wholeheartedly. You know, we did nothing other than put our hand up from minute one to suggest that was always going to be the case. Of course, we provide information and you know, feedback to the AFL in regard to their penalty, but I'm happy to have that debate with you because I think you're totally wrong.
Okay, that's a good chat. The coaching succession plan, is it happening or not? We're getting mixed messaging around this, and Ken's got a couple of years to go, and you're right in the firing line again this year. You want to put a line through that for us?
Well, I'm not sure I have to, in the sense of a large part of my role is to make sure that we have viable candidates internally to make sure that at any point in time, for whatever position it is within the club, that we've got people who we believe can step up. Now, yeah, I did note what Kane said earlier in the week, and again, without wanting to push back on you both, I think that, you know, my role in the club can do two things. You know, I can walk and chew gum at the same time, Kane. I can provide support to Ken, as we have over as a club over a long period of time. Provide support to Ken to make sure that he has everything that he needs, but also I can turn my attention to what is next. We've done that, you know, multiple times in my time at the club with regard to our high performance staff. You know that, Kane. We've done that with our succession planning of our assistant coaches. We've done that with our SNFL coach. I don't know why this situation would be any different, where we need to make sure that, you know, at whatever point in time Ken goes, and that doesn't have to be in 2 years' time. Ken's contracted for the next 2 years. But if we continue to go, you know, well and take the next steps, then I don't think that that Ken will want to walk away. But equally, it's my role to make sure that we've got other candidates within the club to take over, and we make no bones about that.
Does it get awkward though if there is success? And my point was, look, there's a premiership up for grabs. You've just had an exceptional performance on a Friday night. Team's in a really good spot, and for whatever reason, we're once again talking about someone taking over from Ken when he's still got a long time to go in his contract. And then what happens to Josh if he has been guaranteed that job, if things go really well under Ken and you want to back him in again? I just think it creates a few problems for you.
Yeah, look, I accept that you have that perspective. There's a couple of things that I can't control. That is people talking about this, but I accept that it's a talking point. But look, you know, we're in a situation where, as I say, a large part of my role is thinking about the future. Ken is contracted for 2 years. He has had enormous support from our club at times where many of the people in the media think that we shouldn't have. Ken's contracted for the next 2 years. And the good thing that we will have internally is viable candidates to take over from Ken at whatever point that happens in the future.
So you have locked yourself in to whenever that time comes, that it'll be someone internally to take over from Ken. So if a Chris Scott was available, that's off the table because you're going to promote from within.
No, I don't think you listened to what I just said then, Kane. That's not the case. What we want is to have viable candidates internally. As I say, I don't really understand why that is, outside of the fact that it hasn't, you know, the obvious ones haven't worked previously. Every organisation who is worth its salt will be thinking about who can do what in situations that happen into the future. And Josh Carr is a fantastic assistant coach at the moment. I'm sure that he's going to be a fantastic senior coach into the future. But it's my responsibility, not just with Josh, but also with Chad and with Tyson Goldsack, to make sure that they continue to develop so that in the future our club has people who, you know, are developing, but also who are viable candidates for roles at our club down the track.
Yeah, the only reason I said that was because the report was that Josh had been guaranteed that job. And I know that hasn't come from the club. That was the report that I sat next to Caroline Wilson that she said. So if that was the case, then I guess you're limited to promote from external. But you're telling us, and absolutely we'll take you at your word for that. Let's talk some footy, because Sam Powell-Pepper is back. Discussed Cozzy Pickett a bit this morning and his technique. Has Sam needed to have that chat about the way he's playing football in 2024 or not?
We've had a chat to Sam about his situation. I think, you know, we all, as much as, you know, Sam has been known as a let's say a hardish player. I mean, Sam hadn't been reported or suspended, for the first 150 games of his career. So. You know, he is definitely going to have to, you know, contemplate what he does. But I don't think that there's going to be a major change. Clearly, you know, the situation that he put himself in the pre-season was something that we didn't want him to do. And I think that he, you know, would acknowledge when looking back that he did have a different choice to make there. And, you know, the game in 2024 requires players to make a different decision there. So, you know, our position at the time was that, you know, the suspension last year would have probably been 3 matches. The AFL, you know, set a benchmark here this year, which was 4 matches for that incident. And, you know, like we have with Jeremy, we accepted that one and you know, moved forward. I think that Sam is a type of player who's going to provide pressure in our forward line, and we need him to have a little bit of an edge, but clearly we don't want him to go over it.
Chris, it's been a great start to the season. In your position, in your role, you would have had down on paper some aspirations and some expectations for this group, and I know you don't have to let us in full book on what they are, but how are you seeing those in line with performance at the moment?
No, David, I think you're right. We're positive about our start right now. You know, we entered the season thinking that we had a better squad than we had last year. You know, we brought some players in, you know, none of which were known A-grade sort of players yet, but equally we felt like they would come in and solidify our group, I think is probably the best word to use. You bring in Ivan Soldo, who's desperate for a chance, who can help that midfield group. You bring in Brandon Zirk-Thatcher, who has probably been playing on players in the past that maybe he won't necessarily have to do with us. You bring Asava in, and suddenly, our back seven looks a little bit more solid than what they did in 2023. So we're happy with our performances so far. We felt like even our performance against Melbourne, albeit they obviously got done last night, but we felt like at that point, that that game, Melbourne got a lot of plaudits out of it, and rightly so. But we thought we were in that game for a lot of it, and we felt like we could have won it. So beating Essendon the way we did last week was a fantastic block to add to the season so far.
The way that you're playing, clearly there's been a focus. Okay, we're taking this on a little bit more. The aggression off half back, the ability to take a risk, has definitely been a shift. What was the catalyst for that?
I think our coaches over the off season wanted to continue to be aggressive. That's the way that Ken says that he likes to play, and the other coaches really bought into that. We feel like we've got some players in positions on the ground where we can exploit opposition, that midfield group, the way that they can fight for the ball, inside and then, move outside quickly is something that we've got to continue to help to harness if we're going to really be good at the end of the season. So we've got to want to be aggressive. The guys are keen to make sure we're using, the quickest way to goal as much as we can and get the ball in reasonably quickly into our forward line.
You got to do things differently at the list management space when the likes of Gold Coast have got as many first picks as they've got in other clubs. You probably haven't been blessed with the academy and the father sons. There's been a link to player like Will Hayward during the week. He's a South Australian. Are you in a position to go again with your list, and do you have room to do something like that?
Yeah, we do. I think that's one thing that our club has been really good at, and Jason Cripps has done a good job with over time, is our salary cap. I think over the next couple of years, the reality is going to be, Kane, that most clubs are going to have money, and that's just based on, obviously, the CBA increasing. It's going to be actually the quantum of the money that each team has got. I would expect to see more movement again at the end of the year, just as I say, on the basis that most clubs are going to have some money. But we think we're going to be well positioned financially to attack, whether it be free agency or the trade table. I think, for us, we're certainly looking at free agents. We have traded a number of our first round picks over time, albeit I know that the AFL would be open to us doing it again because of the fact that we bought, Horn Francis in a couple of years ago, at such a young age. But look, we'll have money to, attack the off season. Right now, we want to make sure that we're keeping our eye on attacking 2024 as well.
Hey, mate, it's been a big week for the club. The footy's going very well on the field, so good luck against Fremantle on Saturday night, and we always appreciate your time.
Good on you, Kane. David, thank you.
On you, Chris.
One of the best in the business, Chris Davies, the Port Adelaide GM of football, discussing all the issues at the club. This week, in-place living, specialist disability accommodation, supporting independence, choice and control, inplaceliving.com.au. We're in the Kogan Mobile studio. Kogan Mobile's got you covered with 120 gigs for $120 to use across 12 months. Kogan.com. It is clicking awesome. Chris Davies, our guest.
The Friday Agenda.
All right, it's time for the Friday Agenda. Thanks to Signet, power every moment with a Signet Power Bank. It was an interesting chat with Chris Davies. Obviously, we both disagree on a couple of aspects there. I don't think coaching succession plans work, and I think it's very dangerous to lock that in when there's still a fair bit to go. He disagrees with that clearly, and I think it can be a distraction. And you obviously disagree just with your line of questioning on how they handled the Jeremy Finlayson situation.
Yeah, I thought they went straight to the penalty and trying to just marry that up with Alistair Clarkson's decision by the AFL of a couple of months ago through the pre-season period, which I just think when these things are as meaningful as they are to the community, that you need to just put your hand up, admit your mistake, and throw yourselves at the mercy of the AFL. Not try and negotiate through the media a pathway forward to minimising a sanction. Just accept the sanctions coming, and strong clubs do that.
Mm. Yeah, so I think probably if Koshy had his time again, he went on the ABC on Sunday morning, and he was quite defensive and mentioned Alistair Clark. And he makes a really good point, and I think most people would agree with him, but at the time, you probably just say, look, we put our hand up, he's done the right thing, and we'll cop what's coming from the AFL. So I think that's okay with your line of questioning there, but they disagree. All right, let's get into the Friday agenda. What's on your agenda for this weekend's action?
Well, I just want to start with don't waste talent. There's games at the moment that are either hanging in the balance or you've got dominance or you've got momentum. You have to capitalise. I think the West Coast Eagles last weekend, and we talked about this in-game, they had complete control of that game against Sydney for a 15-minute window in that second term, kicking with a small breeze, a 2-3 goal breeze. And I think the fact they left Jeremy McGovern behind the ball when they could have probably milked that quarter for 2 or 3 more goals was an error. They may get that same opportunity this week. I think it's a winnable game for them.
Not really
a matchup for him down back. So maybe make him a problem for the opposition up forward. And Harry Sheasel, the same discussion. I think it's time to use potentially your best ball user further up the field.
I agree with that.
So don't waste with talent hovering at half back or out of the game.
I agree with that. He's 34 touches a game, Sheasel, but 3 score involvements. So I'd love to see that. I think that is time. And just have a look at it. We saw his talent when he in his first year of the preseason, he kicked 3 at a game against Carlton, I think it was, at Icon Park. Wow, how good's this? So it doesn't have to be 34. It can be 19 and 6 score involvements. You're going to get a better outcome. So I agree with that. In terms of the best bottom 6 in the league, we wouldn't mind putting this on the agenda. Did Geelong have the best bottom 6? In the comp. So, I mean, it's hard because we've got to go through all the 18 teams and don't have enough time to do that. But I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, O'Connor, Colajasny, Clark, Bowes, probably Reece Stanley, and Parfitt. I think if that's your worst 6, it's not a bad 6.
It's a good 6. Yeah. The 6 for me, the best bottom 6 are clearly at the Giants for me.
The Giants? Yeah.
I think you would expect that Brown would have been considered by most as a bottom 6 player at the start of the year, going really well. Cadman the same.
Yep.
Weir has shown some real signs. I think O'Halloran has done some things. Peatling can do some things. Look, I just don't know if they have a 6. I think they've got about 4 that you worry about, and that's about it.
They're clearly your early tip, aren't they?
Well, they haven't.
For the flag.
I can't wait for them to play a couple of the big boys and see how they're going. And I think they got a game. Well, they got.
I've got their draw in front of me right now. So the Saints.
Yep.
This week, then it's the Blues, which will be a really good one. I think that's at Marvel, and then Brisbane.
Awesome.
And then Sydney. So the next 3 weeks after the Saints, which you think they take care of in Canberra. So Carlton, Brisbane, Sydney is going to be a really good test for them, and they also play Geelong in round 11 before they have a bye. So that's an exciting fixture for them to look forward to. For Aussies living life on the go, Signet phone accessories go the distance, keeping you connected. We'll continue the agenda after the news headlines. All right, we're back. It's Fireball Friday. Apologies, we have had a couple of technical issues this morning. Everyone is doing their absolute best.
Some heat in here, I can tell you.
What's happening in there?
There's a bit of stress.
Few people running around.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Just looked at a couple of blokes wondering what they do during the week. I'll tell you, I can tell you what they do. The techs are going mad around here.
Yeah, there's a few sweaty men running around, I think, in there at the moment. The update from the Masters, DeChambeau is in the clubhouse at 7-under. He's the leader. Scotty Scheffler is storming through his first round. He's 6-under through 17. The best of the Aussies, Cam Davis, is 2-under through 13. He's tied for 6th. Cam Smith has dropped a couple of shots. He's 1-under through 15. And Tiger Woods on course at the moment, even through 7 holes. What a great weekend of golf coming your way. My old man's there, Kingy. He's there at the Masters. Yeah, I don't know how he
didn't take the family?
doesn't take the family. He went to the Super Bowl one time in 2011 and saw the Giants win the Super Bowl. And he took like some random friend of a friend. Like wasn't even a close friend of the family. And me and Chad are sitting there going, hang on. You didn't even offer us the second Super Bowl ticket and you took a friend of a friend to the Super Bowl. And we do, I've actually never forgiven him for that.
You just have a, I think you should have a think about that.
Just not.
He had leave a, old, he wanted to have a good time.
Even my family doesn't like me. What is going on with my life?
It started early.
Sorry we haven't been able to take many of your calls this morning. To be honest, we haven't been able to trust you out there because we haven't had any delay, so we couldn't put you to air because we had ourselves. No idea what you were going to say yet. We don't even trust Kingy, let alone you. So hopefully we can trust Kao Toomey. He won't be in delay, but we don't think he's going to do himself a mischief this morning. Anyway, there's lots to chat about with him. Errol Goulden has signed a 4-year contract extension. There was huge offers from other clubs. Going to talk about some of the pre-agents that might be up for grabs. Liam Baker, where will he be playing his football next year? And if you've got a question for him, one of the best in the business, you can send that through and we'll put that to him next. Fireball Friday, we are back and joining us now, I'm hoping from afl.com.au for Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you. You weren't ready to come back.
No, I just had to ring my son because Lucy's away, right? And I'm off at work early, so I've left the boys.
Oh, no.
To their own devices at home.
To
sort themselves out. So I was just ringing to make sure that their eldest brother, who has only got his P's this week, had just got his brothers to school on time. Oh. And then because I can't hear anything here, Geordie just said to me, "We're back." So I had to quickly hang up the phone. So sorry to the kids who I was on the phone to, and welcome back.
I can decipher that for you, everyone. He's rang Ricky again to see if that money's coming through today.
Not true. All right, someone give me the yes, he's here. Right, now you better not swear. Have we got you there, Callum Toomey?
You've got me, Kane Corns. David King, how are you?
Going well.
We've got no delay here, so I trust you not to say anything untoward this morning. Hey, you've had a big week. Gettable's doing big things on afl.com.au. You can watch that every Wednesday, and you can also read your stuff inside trading on afl.com.au. Errol Goulden, take us through the ins and outs of this deal that he signed at Sydney.
Well, this one's been in the making for a little bit, but clearly, there's been big interest from rivals. And we reported about a month ago that Adelaide and Fremantle were among the clubs who had registered their interest and were among those who had made plays for him. He's been keen to stay for a little bit, and it has sped up over the past couple of weeks. He had options everywhere, to go, but options also to stay on different years. So he could have done 2 years. That was part of the decision-making. He could have done 3 through to Tasmania time. He's done 4 through to free agency. He's spoken about a 10-year offer from rivals, and that's been there and spoken about as well. But he also had the option to do 10 years in Sydney. Like, basically, it was name your own price, name your own years, and write your own check. In the end, he's backed himself to get to free agency and then do his mega deal after that. But he's going to be paid really, really well over the next 4 years, as he should. He's been their highest priorities re-signing. They've now done Rowbottom and Goulden. Logan McDonald, Ollie Florin, and Will Haywood still to go up their top 5 for this year, but good one to tick off early in the year.
What do you reckon he would be getting in the modern landscape now with the salary cap exploding? What sort of dollars would Errol be earning?
I think he'd be touching the 7 figures at this point, yeah, across the deal. And you look at TPP rises that are always usually by managers built into these contract talks. This is going to take him through to the next CBA as well. So I think it's pretty clear that he's in the best 30 players in the competition. We saw about 20 millionaires last year. By the end of this deal for Errol Goulden, there'll probably be about 50 to 60 millionaires across the competition. Clearly, he's going to be in that bracket. So, yeah, he's touching that figure now.
Cal, what would a 10-year deal have looked like? What sort of numbers would we have been talking?
I think we would have been talking, Kingy, 12, 13 across the duration in terms of millions.
And what will he get breaking it up into two lots of two lots of five or a four and a six?
Well, as we always say, there's a stay and a go price, and people always leave money on the table to stay. But I think he'll manage to make that up pretty well. I mean, what's the new world looking like? I think we're all saying that, and seeing, and speaking to clubs around this as well, we're all seeing this new money come into the competition where even players who aren't A-listers are getting paid huge, huge money and offered huge money to move because it's a big chip for clubs to go and grab someone. So I think we're going to have to get used to this around the AFL industry, and there's an adjustment phase coming around how much players are being paid and not just the very best. Errol is one of the very best, so it's pretty easy to justify with him. But yeah, I think that's something that he would have had to make up his own mind on. But he's backing himself to be better at 25 than he is right now as well. So he's a pretty quality player.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a couple of deep breaths with some of the wages that are getting thrown around for lesser lights, Cow. Not great players like Errol Goulden, you know, who's finishing top five in Brownlow medals, but
I worry for you a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I'm nervous. I'm just going to have to change my mindset in terms of, okay, this is now what the salary cap is, and if someone wants to pay Will Hayward $850, then I'm probably just going to have to cop it. What does it say about Adelaide? So I think it was Channel 9 that reported that the 10-year offer came from them. They've had sort of a nibble at Oliver. They had a real crack at Petty, and they had a serious go at Errol. So they're being quite aggressive, aren't they?
They got cap space. They got cap space, and they've hit the draft obviously pretty hard over a period of time now. So they're in the market. They were in the market last year for Harrison Petty, offered him a long-term deal at really good money as well. This year, he's a pre-agent, so he's a year out from pre-agency, so a year closer to being on the open market, but still contracted to Melbourne, so a deal would have to be done there. Look, I think they're probably at the point where, because of the draft over recent years, that they probably see that there's options there from a free agency and trade point of view, so they have to be active, and you have to be active. The battle is for all clubs outside the top eight and who've been outside the top eight for a number of years, how do you get players across? That's a challenge across the competition because players generally want to see or join clubs that they feel like, you know, success is coming for a couple of years. I mean, you look at when Haywood's got a decision to make this year, if you're leaving the Swans, you're probably going to one of the clubs that are in the contention over the next 12 to 24 months. So that's always a battle for clubs who have been in the rebuild phase and are now coming out of it.
Cal, quick yes or no. You're in charge of rebuilding the Western Bulldogs into their next premiership tilt. Do you keep English or allow him to leave?
Well, I've offered him 5 years. I think it's important to keep good players. So, yes.
Bailey Smith?
If he wants to stay,
So that's keeping them both?
If he wants to stay, I mean, Smith's got a 2-year offer there from the Dogs as well. It's they're not yes or no's for me in terms of the trade option because I don't know what I'm being offered for Bailey Smith. I mean, everyone's, you know, you tell me what Hawthorn's putting on the table or Collingwood's putting on the table and Geelong's putting on the table and maybe I'll have a better informed decision on yes or no.
Get a first-round pick for both.
Well, Hawthorn's first round pick's different to Collingwood's first round pick.
Hawthorn's first round pick. Gee, you're ducking and diving. This is far from a no.
This is Horrible Friday. Cal. Come on, mate. We just call a spade here.
Lucky we got no delay here. I'd be swearing at you, Cal.
Well, what I'm saying is, Kenny, there is, and recruiters say this all the time, and it's not an excuse or anything like that, but there is a big difference between this first round pick and this first round pick. Now, draft this year is looking like a strong one, so that's an option for the club to go, okay, here's three. The Bulldogs don't have one at the moment. They obviously traded last year to get up and get Sanders. But, yeah, I'd like to see what the actual pick turned out before I'm making a call on that.
Would you trade Caleb Daniel? What would you get?
We've got 2 years to go on a contract, so they hold the whip hand there. But if he's not playing, then, you know, that's money sitting in the VFL, isn't it? So I'd give the Daniel and Lobb one another 6 weeks to see where they actually fit in because, you know, that team changes all the time. I don't know about that one yet. And what clubs would actually be willing to offer if it's more just take the money off your hands. Because if clubs are taking the full money, then they're not going to offer the big kick.
Heard you speak about the first-round draft picks from last year, sort of the top 10, and now that they've signed three-year contracts, what that's done to clubs trying to extend them. Can you just explain that landscape for us?
Yeah, so they're only able to, the top 20 picks in the draft now under the new CBA can only re-sign past round six of their debut season, so that's obviously coming next week. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see too much movement on that, which is kind of an unintended consequence of this new rule, because in the past, you would have seen a lot of them by now have signed two-year extensions through to the end of their fourth year. Now, I think clubs, and or probably more player managers, are waiting and saying, well, he's signed till the end of his third. Let's wait and see, and see if by the time his next contract rolls about, he's actually worth a lot more than he would have been had he been signing 2 months ago. Like, Harry Sheezel re-signed after round one of his debut season. Now, some would say that's too early, but they probably got a really good rate at that. And then he's obviously re-signed again this year through to 2030. So I don't think we're going to see too much movement on any of those deals. The only two that I could probably see doing a really short-term extension would be Riley Standage and Colby McKercher. They're currently signed through to 2026. If they did a one-year extension on that and took them through to the end of their fourth year, that's 2027, when the Devils' deadline is coming in, and then that puts them in a position to obviously take an option or wait and see what it looks like. But I think, yeah, the catch-up money that managers are going to be looking for after year three for what they didn't get in their third season will be an interesting facet to this, because some managers and players might just say, okay, give us a five-year deal at $800,000 to get us through to free agency, and that's our big signing early on.
The list at Essendon, Cal, where should it finish this year? What ladder position should it be finishing? Is it talented enough to finish position 7, 8, 9? Is it a 10 or 11 list? Is it lower than that? Where do you think this list, all things being even, injury-wise, where should it be finishing?
It's a great question, because they've got more top 10 picks, I think, than any club in the competition when you include the players who they've brought in through trade over the years. I still think they don't have the depth of the contenders, and that's who I would say the top six or seven clubs are, and that shows up whenever they have injuries. And that showed up at the end of last year when Ridley, Draper, Stringer were injured, and it's showing up again this year when clearly they've had a soft tissue plague already in the first month of this season. So I think when fit, they're a top eight team, and they've shown that on occasion. But I think when they have injuries, they don't have the quality depth to match it with the other clubs. So, and they're hit again with injuries. So I think probably the reality now after this start to the season, and I know, Kane, you're not sold on the Jordan Ridley star factor. To me, he's a top three player there, and he's basically going to miss a season of footy through soft tissue injuries the end of last season and the first half of this year. They haven't been able to cover that. So,
lucky they signed him for an extra 3 years when there was no need to sign him for an extra 3 years. But, mate, we can debate that another time. Hey, appreciate you joining us this morning. Always appreciate it.
All good. See you guys.
Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil was grown, harvested, and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. That's Cobram Estate. We'll be back to speak to Sammy Edmund next. All right, it's been a big show. If you missed any of it, you can catch up on the podcast. For anything that you've missed, Cal Toomey, Chris Davies, we had a pretty strong discussion with Chris Davies. He disagreed with us. Sammy Edmonds here for Club Tokenwall, Australia's premier Murray River golfing destination with two top 40 golf courses. Talk to the golf package team today. What's coming up, Sammy, in 15 seconds?
Kane, is that you? Yep. Yeah, it is you. Good. Thank goodness. Cam Rayner, right off the top, the man of the moment. Looking forward to that.
Nicely done.
And Nick Del Sando, and we'll go over to the Masters as well. We'll cast the net far and wide as we do on the Captain's Run.
I'd like to thank the Techos for their work this morning, and it was nice working with you.
Enjoy your weekend, everyone.